Broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. We are the only podcast that also turned down Time's Person of the Year Award. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah. We said no thanks. No thanks, Time. We don't want to be big time.
We don't want to be bigly.
No. We just want to be us. Small time. Say what we want without people hearing us.
Yep. Live our life.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, what's up, guys? Happy post Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Happy post Thanksgiving. How much pie did everybody eat?
None.
One piece pie. There were three pies, though. Not as many as last year, but there were also fewer food allergies. Yeah. And I think three is a respectable number.
Yeah. So too. Because really, like, it's too hard to pick from too many. And how many pies can one realistically eat in one sitting?
Well, I mean, that's just it. Like, it's not in one sitting. We're there for 3 days, so.
Oh, right. That's the best. Then you can space out. Then you start to plan your pie. That's totally what I did. It was like, okay, I'm going to have a slice of this today, knowing that that's going to be around tomorrow. So I'm going to do that one tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
You know. I mean, I would have done pie for breakfast, though.
That's fine. There's no judges.
I know. No, there was we had pecan and apple, I think, were the two pie options.
You can call it pecan if it's in a pie.
Pecan pie, pecan pie.
I think you call it it's pecans or the nut, but pecan pie sounds better.
As long as I don't get into trouble like the Oregon thing again.
Well, because I think pecan pie is more of a Southern thing. So I think, and again, I'm not from the South, so I
was in the North.
Our Southern listeners, you can shoot me down on this, but I think pecan pie is acceptable.
Except I was in the North and I'm from the North, so pecan is... I got a little jumpy, a little testy about that. I'm like, I'm going to call what I want, damn it.
I love it when people describe themselves as testy.
Testy.
It's the pie I don't like, so there you go.
Testy pie?
Testy pie? Serving up a big slice of testy pie.
Testy pie.
It's what you make with Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, exactly. And I am from the Rockies, so hey, there you go. There's a whole testicle festival 20 minutes away.
All right.
You gotta go next year with your testy pie. I think it would be.
That's what happens when you do anal right. We figured it out.
Yep. Solve that one. Next.
Oh my God. So many pie things that we should not get into.
Yes. Next. Moving on.
So speaking of a call over to that other podcast, I was very excited when I went to Thanksgiving and saw that my mother-in-law, who's not my mother-in-law, but she's like my mother-in-law once removed. You know, we had this discussion last year, whatever. She's my mother-in-law for all intents and purposes, except I'm not married to her daughter. She has a double oven.
Oh.
And she was super excited about it and was talking about how, like, you know how every year, like, some of the dishes are cold because, like, the turkey has to be in there and, like, you can't heat things at the same time and everything. And I was kind of like, well, I mean, I don't eat. Sure.
Sure.
Yes. She's like, well, this year won't be like that because I've got a double oven. And I was immediately like, oh, double oven. Jack would wonder why. But Jack's wife would be super happy. So.
Sounds cool. About right.
Yep. Yeah. Frank was very excited about the double oven.
Wow.
So he put his stamp of approval on that too.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I'm rocking a solo oven around here.
Yeah. Solo oven with one burner down.
Oh no.
Yeah, we had a burner down. So I did a little pre-cooking before I left for Connecticut.
Sorry.
Burner out. Yes, I did a little cooking here before I went back to Connecticut. And then I actually did the majority of the cooking this year.
That's right. How is your mom feeling? Give us an update.
She is recovering. Probably not as quickly as she'd like to, but, you know, brain trauma and all that takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my brother and I ended up doing most of the cooking, which actually ended up being a lot of fun. you know, she kept like apologizing when she'd go back into the room to like sit down. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm having a great time. I'm listening to Hamilton. I'm making some food. Like, this is a pretty solid day. Like, this is a lot of fun for me.
That's awesome.
Living my best life.
Awesome. We went to New York. We rented a van and drove up again. We got ended up with, and we didn't really have a choice. It's kind of just what they gave us, a Dodge van of some sort. It was awful.
Yeah, that's what we had growing up. It's kind of lacking in amenities, if I remember correctly.
Well, I had one growing up too. It was purple, and I remember really liking it. And this, I mean, we got in, and there's only SiriusXM. There's no, like, there's an auxiliary to plug your phone in, except you can't do that anymore with the phones.
Well, you have to have the little...
Yeah, the connector, which we didn't have.
The little connector.
Wait, do you have a new phone that doesn't have the thingy?
Yeah.
Same.
But you both have it?
Yeah, I've had it
before. Am I just, like, the only ancient dinosaur that's, like...
Yes.
Rocking an old phone that has the proper amount of holes.
There's still two holes in your iPhone.
Yep, still two holes in my iPhone. Just the way I like it.
I just have the one, the butthole. With
power goes into. That's true. How do you decide which hole it is?
I just the bigger one with the power, so I just assumed it was the ass.
Oh, that's pretty logical. I didn't think that through.
Clearly, I have too much time on my hands, but it sucked. There were like no interior lights, which is fine. That's not a big deal, except when you have a 3-year-old who, you know, doesn't like sitting in the back in the dark by himself and wants the lights on the whole time. Which we weren't going to turn all the. It was like every light or no lights.
Right. And that's not safe for the driving.
Not so much. What else? There was just, it was just very like lacking in things and not, it wasn't like horrible. And, you know, it sounds very like a weird thing to complain about. But our last rental car had at least more than that. So we listened to a lot of the Beatles channel on SiriusXM. I mean...
Sounds pretty nice.
It was actually quite pleasant. They were doing this thing called the Fab Four all weekend, in which like every famous person and their mother must have gotten emailed by their publicist being like, can you list your top four Beatles songs for us? Because, I mean, it was like Judd Apatow and Miley Cyrus and a singer from like the 60s named Lulu and Mary Elizabeth Winstead or whatever her name is. I mean, literally, if they were a famous person, J.J. Abrams did one. They had like a Fab Four thing. So we spent a lot of the time debating what our Fab Four would be, which mine changes on the fly each time.
Well, what is it right now?
I think the most recent one I came up with was I also realized that I always thought I really liked Paul McCartney the best, like his songs. I think I really like George Harrison's songs the best after listening to a lot of Beatles this weekend. I think I would do Walmart Guitar Gently Weeps, Here Comes the Sun, Let It Be, and this is tough. The last one's tough.
Right.
Because I kind of want to do something more like maybe like fun like Yellow Submarine or Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds because I really like that one.
Yeah.
Blackbird. I think I went with Blackbird was how I kind of finished it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, but at one point I had in my life. Strawberry Fields might have been in there. I don't think I ever had that. I mean, it's really hard to pick just four.
Right.
So that's what I learned about myself this weekend. And then I had a really terrible night's sleep last night. I kept waking up. I was very like uncomfortable. And throughout the whole freaking night from about 2 o'clock until I woke up for good around like 6:15 in my dream, Within You or Without You was playing like through the whole like that whole like 4 or 5 hours of my night. It was like the soundtrack of my dream.
Nice.
It was. I think we listened to too much Beatles this weekend.
I had a dream that Daniel and I and the cat did like Christmas pictures.
Oh.
Like you, pictures that you would do for a Christmas card, but we weren't making Christmas cards out of them. We were just taking the pictures.
Oh, that's adorable.
And so in my dream, I was like, okay, you have to remember to print them when you wake up. Legitimate thought that my sleeping self had that my waking self remembered.
Oh my nice. God. Speaking of,
yeah.
Last year I was terrible with the Christmas cards. I sent them out in January. Well, this year I have ordered them. I have stuffed the envelopes. I have put the return address labels and the stamps on them. I just need to mail merge my addresses, and my goal is to have them out on December 1st.
Holy shit. Nice. Well done.
I'm not fucking around this year.
That's impressive.
Well done.
This is the time of year when I think, like, I could send out a Christmas card. And if I do, I should probably start thinking about it soon. I met a person who takes good pictures, and he's like my roommate's friend, so he'd probably take a picture of me for free. We could get little like Santa's hats for the cats, because I fully support the whole cat picture thing that you have going on, Amanda.
No, just a dream, Amanda. Real Amanda is not doing that.
But I like the idea, and then I could order them and try to remember to take off the red eye and try to remember to not order them as 2000XX, because I've done both of those things before.
And that's right.
Wait, what is 2000? What does that mean?
She told this story last year.
I can't remember last year, guys. That's too long ago. That's a whole year ago.
It's a whole year ago. So like the one time that I did do Christmas cards, we had a picture, and it was a cute picture of like Frank, me and Frank with Fiona. And I was like all proud of myself, and I like, you know, printed them or like ordered them on like Shutterfly or something. And I was super excited. And then when I got them, we had red eyes, and I had forgotten to like take that off in like the little settings, but I was kind of like, well, fuck it. Like I have these, and like, there's not enough time and so whatever. So I sent them off, but then I realized, oh my God, I know more people than I ordered. So like, I have to send them a Christmas card too. I was like, sweet. I can like reorder some things, and this time I can remember to do the red eye. So I chose like a different format. I remembered the red eye, but on this particular Christmas card, it was like, you know, Merry Christmas or like Happy Holidays 2000XX, and you're supposed to edit the year.
Oh.
And I forgot to edit the year. So we didn't have red eyes, but it was from 2000XX. And
right.
I didn't realize that until I got them. And was at that point like, well, I really can't order more now because it really is too late. And so some people
it's okay. I've probably told this story before, but my friend sent Save the Dates with the wrong year on it.
Oh my God.
It was for the current year, and the wedding was for next year. So by the time people got the Save the Date, it was like wedding date on the Save the Date had already happened.
Oh my God.
Instead of like happening the next year.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What did she do? Did she send out other ones, or did she just email?
I think most people just figured it out. Like I didn't even notice that the year was wrong. I think also because I knew when the wedding was before I got the Save the Date. So it was just kind of a formality at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, so guys, I went bowling this weekend.
Oh, fun.
I didn't know bowling is fun. Bowling is really fun.
Was there beer? Because that makes bowling fun.
There was beer. There was beer also... and popcorn.
Oh, that's solid.
I like walked in. I was like, it smells like popcorn. I need popcorn. Yes.
Was there also a big buck hunter?
What?
I don't know. I didn't look. There was an arcade, but I didn't go inside.
Okay.
But it was definitely one of those like really greasy strip mall bowling places, which I suppose like 99% of bowling places are
totally
bowling places. I believe they're called bowling alleys, but it was amazing. I got one strike.
Nice.
Really exciting. My highest score was a 98 and my lowest score was a 28.
That sounds exactly like me bowling. That is wonderful.
Oh man. Okay, when you guys come down here, we have this fancy Cineball thing where it's like a movie theater and a bowling alley and
holy
an arcade.
Shit. Fun. That's not in a strip mall.
No, bless you.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's kind of crazy. And then we, yeah, like, and then we have another, like, our nice area. We have a bowling alley slash bar slash dance club, which I did go to.
I would argue most bowling alleys are dance clubs, at least how I was doing it.
Well, you were doing it right, my friend.
Yes, that was.
Just to finish up the Halloween, the Thanksgiving thing. Did anybody else do anything fun before we wrap up Thanksgiving?
I discovered a really awesome secondhand store.
Oh,
great.
In which I bought a dress that's really awesome for $14.
Oh, that was a dress, the picture. I couldn't tell if it was a top or like a full dress.
But it's very short.
It's so very short, and there's video of her modeling it all over the Facebooks.
What? I didn't see the video. I just saw the picture.
A friend posted a video. Oh, so we figured out. We both got new phones like a week ago or so.
Somebody had some testy pie in that dress.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I needed to say that then, or it would have come out in a totally inappropriate time.
That's how testy pie usually is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never when you want it.
Never.
Or how you want it.
It's always when it wants it.
Yeah.
That's right.
When it wants
That's
you to have it.
That's why it's testy.
Yeah. It's very temperamental, that testy pie.
Anyway, new phones, new dress.
New phones, and to be fair, this was, I'm sure, a function of my old phone. But I just didn't realize, like, in picture, if you take a picture, if you have the
little moving thing
on. Yeah. And then you can, like, actually make that into a very, very short video.
Oh. So
yeah. I love the live video. Oh, my God. Or the live picture, rather.
Yeah.
Jay has his on his home screen. It's of Zach smiling. And it looks like a Harry Potter, like, portrait.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I didn't know you could have it on your as your homepage and it moves. That's
we
really
didn't either.
Cool.
And then he tested it out. But yeah, so when he, like, it's so Zach smiling. Yeah, it's really, it looks really cool. It looks like a Harry Potter picture.
Oh, my God. I wonder if that's just with the new phone.
I don't know. I think it might be the new operating system.
Right. I'll have to investigate. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, it was very, we both got very excited. And so we may have posted quite a few videos of
I don't know.
Happens to be of me, like, walking around in that dress.
Yeah. I don't know how you post them live to video, so you have to show me.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that either.
Well, from the picture, once you put it on, like, a loop or whatever, then you have to press the little upload thing to put it onto Facebook. Because I tried the other way around. Like, usually the way I post on Facebook is I'll go to Facebook and then I'll say post the picture and I'll choose the picture. And I did it like that.
Right.
And I didn't post. Like, it didn't post the move. It wasn't moving. It was just kind of blurred. So I was like, well, shit, that's totally not what I wanted. So I'm going to be completely narcissistic and erase this whole thing so that I can upload the correct video of myself trying on this dress. It's really fun.
That's awesome. Anyway.
That is cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to investigate.
Yeah.
Now I just have to get a cock for my phone and we'll be good. Did we talk about that last time?
No.
How I dropped, this is kind of ridiculous because I did just get a new phone like within the last year and it was because I had dropped my phone and I didn't have a case on it. Did I tell the story about how in France they're called cocks?
No, you didn't.
No, I remember you were talking about how you dropped the phone.
Yeah, because I talked about how I bit mine.
Yeah, this is kind of like the most important part of the story. Why did you leave it out?
I don't know. This is like, it's funny to like learn vocabulary like this because when I lived in France, smartphones didn't exist yet. So there wasn't like phone cases, like that wasn't a thing. It was like the old like flip phones and stuff. And so last time Frank and I were in France, we were at a phone store just to like get a SIM card or get minutes or something. And this guy walks in and he says, you know, the person working at the store is like, oh, can I help you? And he's like, oh no, I'm just looking for cocks. And And Frog and I look at each other because, so in French, it's like a word that's like, has to do with like a cod piece. And it's like, you know.
Okay.
It makes sense. makes sense linguistically. Anyway, that's like the word that they use for phone case. Like, it makes sense that it's a thing that protects. Anyway, but we were not familiar with this. And of course, now with like the English influence, like anytime you hear cock. So we look at each other.
You giggle like a 15-year-old.
Like I just did.
Yeah, yep. Completely. We looked at each other and like totally cracked up. And then like looked around and was like, oh yeah, nobody's laughing. Because in French, like it's a phone case. And then if it's masculine, it's a rooster. So it's like just, you know, it's just like a word. Not, but we're like cock. Just looking for the cocks. So that was always the joke, was I didn't have a cock on my phone, and that's why I broke it. So, and now I have a new phone, and it's bigger, so I need a bigger cock.
So, yeah. Always, always comes back to the need for the cock,
the bigger cock.
That's right.
Speaking, I would think you wouldn't need a cock to get by in this world.
Well, I mean, sometimes you don't. But, you know.
The phone is not quite as evolved.
It doesn't feel as good as in her hand without the cock on it.
I actually feel better in my hand without the cock on it.
What most people say. Smooth. Uh-huh. Smoother.
Uh-huh. It is very aerodynamic here. And lighter. Mm-hmm. Easier to manipulate with the hand.
I don't know where to go from there. All right, we're out, guys.
Yep. onto the feedback, maybe? A little facey back?
Yeah. I wanted to tell this story real quick about my sister. Okay, so my sister, we went Christmas tree shopping, right, to go cut down a Christmas tree. And my sister has, like, a 20-foot ceiling. Like, when you first walk into her house, it's not really a 20-foot ceiling. It's, like, when you walk in, it's open, so like the stairs are right when you walk in.
Goes straight up to like the roof.
Yeah, so it goes like straight up to the roof, and then like you know the rooms are there, just the way it's set up. I'm describing this terribly, but her husband had this idea to get a really big Christmas tree, right? And she was kind of anti it, but then you know I guess at some point they compromised because they ended up getting a fucking like 16-foot Christmas tree.
How do you even get that home?
We put it on our minivan that we rented because we were like, eh, they're not going to check the roof for scratches. It is huge. So it was really big.
What? So good Lord. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So huge tree. Here's another angle of it. See, you can get it from all angles.
With people for scale.
Yes. For scale, it's big. So Jay and my dad and Chris, that's my brother-in-law, tried to get it up their stairs like that.
Oh my
God. So they had to do it and like rest it on the banister like that so they can make it stand up. And as you can see, my brother-in-law is standing on the top step and I took that from the bottom and it's huge. So and
it's
then
like the Griswold family Christmas.
It is. Okay, there was a lot of Griswold jokes going on. And then she took this picture from the balcony of her daughter looking at the tree, and it just cracks me up.
Oh my God, that is insane. Look at it. That's still, it's so like, looks like it's practically brushing the ceiling.
But when she
said, get the star on top.
Well, so she had a little bit of a fit over it. She was just like, it's too big. It's too big. It's too big. Can't have this here. And he was like, it's fine. I'm gonna go do this and that and make make a base and do this. And she was just, so the next morning she sent a picture of it. He had like fit it into this base by himself somehow that he got from Home Depot. And she's like, it's too big. And I think she ended up having my dad go over and help convince him to like cut a good foot off the top. And wow. Then they trimmed it, but she said that, so now they've had it for 4 days, and she's like, it's so overwhelming, I feel like I can't get anything else for Christmas done until this stupid fucking tree is...
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, it was just really funny, but awesome, and it kind of made me wish that we had a real tree. Kind of.
The amount of ornaments you would need for a 16-foot tree.
Well, we went to IKEA, Jay and I, and they had... I think it was 45 ornaments for $9.99, and Caitlin really likes the red and gold theme for everything. So I was like, hey, $20, 90 ornaments. You think that'll fill up like the bottom half of your tree? Do you want them? Yeah. Let's just say it was too soon because she was hashtag not amused.
Not quite ready for drinking.
No. And Caitlin's not really a big drinker, but every night she's sent a glass of wine or a thing of whiskey and been like, all right, I'm prepped for the tree. Let's tackle this. God. Tree round four.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, the thing, too, though, is that once Christmas is over...
Well,
how do you get it out of the house? And also, how much water does a tree that big take?
Oh, it's going to take a lot of water. Yeah. It was also, she was grossed out because there was like a bug on the wall already. And she was like, there's so many fucking critters in here. I can't take it.
Oh, careful, freaking raccoon will jump out.
That's what she was like. I don't know what's going to come out of here.
Yeah. Here comes
So I think her husband was like, no, I'm going to make Evangeline a little table and chairs out of the wood when it's done.
We were okay. Like,
he
awesome.
Likes to make things. So that's kind of his thing.
Hey, it's very constructive.
It's very constructive. So anyway, okay. That was my giant tree story. And whatever. My accomplishment was getting my Christmas cards done.
That's huge.
Really hey, exciting. Really
both
exciting.
Are very successful very and nice. That's super cute. Oh, I like that model.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like the ones that have a picture on the back, too.
Yeah, this was a surprise. I didn't even know it had a picture on the back. I had done the whole front, and then when I went to put it in my cart, they were like, this is incomplete, are you sure? And I'm looking, I'm like, what's incomplete? And there was a site, too.
Yeah, I've gotten a few of those cards over the years that have the back. I really like them. Yeah. They're my favorite type of Christmas card to receive, so good on you. I'm very excited to get it.
Excellent. Ooh, you know what I promised everybody?
What?
I promised y'all last week the 6 things millennials bring up most in therapy.
Oh, right. I forgot all about that.
Yes.
So, okay. I'm not even going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read what they were. Number Fair. 1, I can't make a decision. What if I make the wrong decision?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind mm-hmm. of my everyday problem.
Yeah. I was like, I probably brought that up a few times.
Number 2. I have difficulty saying no, especially to my parents. And this was the point where I was like, this article is speaking to my soul. Because I can't say no to my parents, even though my parents continually think for some reason I always say no to them. It's a vicious cycle. And then I go back to number 1. I can't make a decision. Do I say yes or do I say no? Number 3, will I ever make enough money to start a life with my partner?
Yeah, that's one we talked about that today.
You know, you're never going to, that's always going to be there. So I used to have, you know, the same thing. And then finally I was like, fuck it.
There.
Number, I know that was a very wonderful way to be like, but I also know that one. Let me see. Number 4. I feel helpless about all that's going on in the world.
Yeah. That's more like a lately kind of thing, though.
That's a very lately kind of thing.
Yeah.
I actually was... So, with the whole... This happened to me today, actually. With the whole Pocahontas thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had posted, like, the link to the article or whatever. And then, you know, the typical meme that was posted underneath it was like... To play off of what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, and she was like, it's more offensive. It's not offensive to call her Pocahontas. It's more offensive that she would, you know, lie about her heritage to get a job or whatever. That's more offensive than the slur. And somebody had pointed out, like, well, a lot of people have tales in their family that, you know, say that they're Native American, and most of them end up not being true, but not every family, but a lot of families have like that passed down. And so I chimed in and was like, yeah, my husband has a tale of being part Native American on his side. And he actually just did 23andMe to find out if it's true. And my father-in-law did 23andMe and was convinced that he was like 25%, you know, Native American. And it turns out that he's 0% Native American. I was like, so really it can happen and your meme is stupid. And the person, somebody had commented back at me and like, it's not about whether or not she said it. It's a fact that, you know, it was not really the appropriate time to do it. And I was like, yes, but when I can debunk a stupid meme, I feel like I'm taking this control in the situation. It's something that I can do that makes me feel not powerless. My advice to anybody out there that feels this way, there's a very long way of saying, go find a stupid meme and debunk it, and you'll feel like you have some power.
I like it. Makes sense. Self-preservation, self-care. You do what you got to do to get through the day.
Just find something.
Get through the week, get through the month, get through the year, get through the term. Next one.
I feel like a fraud.
Yeah.
See, I never, I don't have that at all.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I think sometimes when you work in like a creative driven field, I think it's easy to feel that way. It's sort of like, oh, when is everyone going to realize that I actually really suck at this? Or like, yeah, I feel
that's
like that's something
like
that,
how it's been explained to me too.
Yeah, I think that's something that tends to really manifest itself in more, you know, creative fields.
I mean,
for
can,
whatever
I
reason.
I can see that for my field too, but I feel like I've been doing it for long enough that now, and I've seen like what the other people are doing enough to be like, yeah, no, I'm not only should I be here, but I'm better than most of you.
It's probably what they also call a healthy self-esteem. Yeah. And also while you're not in therapy.
Healthy self-esteem or maybe overproductive narcissist. You know, either way, whatever.
Hey, narcissism is in.
It is in.
It is, yeah.
Like I said, Shani says go fuck yourself. If you... Number six. My anxiety is interfering with my life.
From time to time.
Yeah, from time to time. I think I've outgrown a bit of it, and also medicine helped. So, yeah. But
yeah, for sure.
But that's definitely something that, you know, I've kind of definitely can relate to a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, that was that. If you are the parent of a millennial, they've probably talked about that. If you are a millennial, you've probably worried about that.
If you're an old millennial, you're clearly worried about that as well. If you're a zennial.
If you're a zennial. Zennial, mate. Jinx. Anyway, let's get into some. I have some more goody things. Whatever, you know what I mean. But let's get into some of the feedback first, since we have a bunch to get through from the past couple weeks. Yay! All right. Yeah. Desiree said, I got the brain teaser right. Am I a psychopath? Maybe a little.
Yeah, we don't judge, though.
We don't judge. That's true. She is, Desiree was the second person today. Somebody else private messaged me to tell me that they got it right. I was like, you're probably a psychopath. Congratulations. And then they said that their coworker also got it, so they felt a lot better about themselves. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe your psychopaths just stick together.
Yeah, seriously. What's your office environment like?
Let's see. In relation to our episode from 2 weeks ago, Matt said, who else had to Google N52.9? let's see. Oh, Michael had piped in with, it was Nipplegeddon at the marathon. That was in regards to the guy that had the streaming blood from his nipples. And again, power to that guy. David said, I am still amazed at how quick the trolls showed up after Roy Moore was mentioned.
Yeah, that was a little insane.
I'm certain they were bots.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But at least now we have my Johnson jokes forever. Only if you can put it around a cell phone.
And serve it with some testy pie.
No, the testy pie's for after to get your strength back. Gotta refuel.
Matt says, didn't do / my Johnson in 2020. Well, now that we can't have Frank Underwood in 2020, I guess we're going to have to settle for didn't do and Mike Johnson. Didn't do.
They're not the heroes we asked for.
They're the unintentional heroes that we're stuck with.
That we're stuck with. Exactly.
Let me see. Okay. I think that was pretty much it. Oh, Carol had said, sorry. Let me try that again without blowing your speakers out. Carol had said, as for your poll, which was the Tron thing. Don't get too excited, ladies.
Not my Johnson. Not my phone cock.
Not my phone cock or my Johnson. My my husband impulse poll. She said, my husband brings home pets without asking, two rabbits and an aquarium of fish. He said it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. He tends to buy guitars too, but nothing really expensive. I think I'd be more angry if Jay brought home a pet than that stupid Tron game.
Yeah, because you're bringing another life into the house, like a living thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot more responsibility. You know, you don't have to like feed and water the Tron.
that you know of.
I mean, if you do, you should probably get rid of the Tron immediately. You don't need some like Little Shop of Horrors situation going on.
No, we don't. And then Christy had said, every Harry Potter fan knows the 11th birthday is your big Harry Potter birthday when you get your acceptance letter to Hogwarts. I had all my kids excited for months before to see if they would get their letter. They did, and we went to Universal, Harry Potter for life. So that was in regards to your story about your birthday party at Harry Potter.
Right.
That was great.
When I saw that girl, and I was like, oh, she's probably like 12, 10, whatever. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you are 100% right. She was 11.
Right. As soon as I saw that comment, I was like, oh, my God, I'm the dumbest dummy to ever dummy.
The bigliest dummy.
The bigliest dummy. Of course. Of course that's what that was.
Yeah. Good times.
That's why Christy is a great mom.
She knew things.
She knew things.
Okay. I guess we'll do her shemales. Finally, we get some feminine action on here.
Finally.
Testy pie. Johnson.
Oh, that testy pie. So we have a bunch of emails from Joanne that I think we're just going to read in succession in order of appearance. The first one says, due to a majorly busy time in the past few months, I have been remiss in writing, and even though I've had things to write about. So this will be a 2-emailer morning. It turned out to be a 3. Lucky us. I am a show or two behind, so this may have been answered already. AARP is available when you turn 50. You start getting the mailings in your mid-40s. Speaking of decades, I've been an AARP member for a decade as I reached my 6th decade in September. Happy birthday and congratulations. My kids threw a sort of, I figured out beforehand, surprise lunch party for me, which is the first birthday party for me in decades. The surprise, since I guessed the general surprise party idea, was who they would get to show up. And that was a surprise, as for the first time, literally in decades, my 3 sisters and I were together and interacting as they all 3 showed up.
Awesome.
Side note, they did come to both of my kids' weddings, but they stayed at one end of the festivities and I on the other. You can say strained and awkward. My family was never particularly close, and since my parents disowned me 20-some years ago, the sibling ties were also broken. Over the years, first one and then a second sister at least got in touch. By the way, none of them are anti-gay or anti-transsexual. They were just anti-me hurting our parents. The third sister blamed me for my father's death, which occurred about 10 years after I transitioned, so I don't see the connection. But a thawing was underway as she did acknowledge me at my son's wedding and more recently friended me on Facebook.
Ooh, now you know that she really wants to be friends with you.
Right, big step. So it appears you just need 2 decades to repair a broken family. But at least we grow old with less
acrimony.
Oh, sorry, dyslexia. With less acrimony and some reconciliation, and can go back to the regular, less than close family ties we all have. Bottom line, With them, my kids, two of my best friends, and all the significant others, it was a very happy and significant birthday. Joanne.
Oh,
I love that.
Happy birthday.
That's really awesome. And what great kids you have to go to all that work to plan a really special thing for you. As someone who also has a weird separated family thing, it's nice to know that it takes two decades. We're about half of one decade in. So it's nice to know in 15 years, there might be some reconciliation to look forward to.
Yeah. Aww. Families are tricky.
Families are tricky.
Yes, they are.
But yay. Okay. I've got the second one appropriately titled Babies. Okay. As promised, email number two, this one is an update. Earlier this year, I wrote in about my daughter planning to do IVF as she was having issues getting pregnant. So in May, she started a new job, which included a nice maternity leave policy after your first year. So I advised, and assumed she also figured out, that waiting 3 months to start IVF made sense so any baby would be after her 1 year job anniversary. Hmm. 2 weeks before she is due to start the preliminary testing, she found out that she was pregnant.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So wow. Really good news, except she misses the extra weeks off since she will have the baby a few weeks before her 1 year anniversary.
Oh man.
Ugh. But so much better to not have to go through the cost and trouble of IVF.
Very true. For sure.
So she is quite happy and I, of course, am happy for her. She is due on Cinco de Mayo.
It's my mom's birthday.
That's awesome.
What a great day to be born.
Seriously. This past weekend, we spent outlet shopping to update her work outfits to fit. Motherhood maternity was a major stop. Oh, I fucking hate motherhood maternity. There's so much there. It's too much. And I mean hate in like the good way. The funny part is that she posted on Facebook and then I followed up shortly thereafter. And now she is quite upset at me. I got 3 more likes than her. For some reason, people think we are competitive. Another month and we'll find out the gender. It's amazing how much more and better the technology and information is than 30 years ago. I'll try to keep up on informing you all as things progress. Joanne. That's so exciting.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
And I would hope that because she's due so close to like her year anniversary at the company that like they just like...
Yeah,
that wave happened. Her and give her a hand and give her that extra time.
Seriously.
Yeah, my HR person did that for me with Zach. That's not going to happen for me this time around. But my 1 year anniversary at work was the middle of July, so I was a month shy of it. But she gave me the extra. She fudged the paperwork a little bit and gave me the extra week. So I ended up getting, I think it was 8 weeks paid instead of 7 weeks.
That's nice. And I feel like that goes a long way for morale and like your loyalty to a company when they go the extra mile for you. You want to go the extra mile in return.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. But yeah, that's so exciting.
Yes.
Be careful with that motherhood maternity trap. It's a trap.
It's a trap. It's a trap. There.
But their clothes are great. That's the problem is I've never tried anything from there that I'm like, oh, this looks terrible.
Really?
No, they have some good stuff there. Shanty pants.
All right. So next email from Joanne is called Speaking Up. And she says, I want to share a recent incident that in a small way illustrates this speaking up topic. I was at a professional conference with 800 attendees in what is one of, if not the most diverse conferences I attend. As with most such conferences, there was a keynote speaker meant to provide an inspiring message, and in the past, there have been some really good ones. For this conference, the speaker was an ex-NBA player whose initial message of perseverance, he was never a top star but managed to have a decent career, neither I nor most anyone else knew him. The first half of his talk was the normal keynote stuff with only a few almost not noticeable side remarks, such as about the Neal protest. Clearly he was against, and clear difficulty in including a woman as part of the leadership equation. But then he went into a long tirade about how wonderful his father was for beating him with a belt, not to the point of abuse, quote unquote, was his way of making it sound okay. And that essentially the end of America is in part because we no longer beat our kids. And then his misogyny went full blast as he stated the number one key to success in business. Be a man with a good-looking woman on your arm. Wow. I know that it's still a thing for some people, but to say it as a keynote to a group in which at least half the professional leaders were women was astounding. But that's not why I'm writing this email. It is the aftermath. So you are at the conference. Speaker has been billed as a top speaker. You're among professional peers and also a lot of people in marketing and business development. Dissent is not a thing to do. So as we leave, people around me were saying how wonderful the speaker was until I spoke up and said I was insulted and disgusted and considered him the worst speaker I had heard. No one disagreed. It was just that no one was willing to speak up and say the negative. Even I felt a need to equivocate and note that he had good central points, but he distracted from them with those unnecessary comments. A couple of days later, I was at the post-conference board meeting, and the first person to comment about the overall conference made a brief positive comment about the keynote. So I spoke up and noted that if they ever invited him to speak again, I would leave the organization. Again, no one defended him, and except for someone who came in later in the meeting and mentioned his dislike of the corporal punishment statements, the topic of the keynote was not spoken of again. As I write this, I think I have an action to take. I will write a letter to the board, of which I am a member, and suggest that we use this as an opportunity to open a conversation about how topics are handled and what our role is in speaking up. If I follow up and have any action of this, off of this, I will let you know. Joanne.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to a follow-up because
I definitely agree
that something should be done. That is horrendous.
Joanne, you're like my hero.
She kind of is mine, just, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy that nobody else was saying anything, like, and that's, yeah, all the more reason for her to speak up then, because, like, oh my god.
I can't imagine
that
nobody else there was not, you know, like, not offended.
It's like, really? This bothers no one else?
But I kind of get it. It's like, if people are listening, like, only half listening or not really, and, like, you're not really supposed to, like, criticize, and it can be hard to do so, but, like, that's really fucked up.
Right.
Yeah, but
and that should not be a person that's rewarded by being billed to come and speak, you know, at other events.
And there's also a difference, because I'm the first person to tell you that I frequently don't pay attention when there's big speakers or something.
Right. So it's like zone out time.
Right. Like, I'm awful about that. But at the same time, like, there's a difference between someone whose speech is just kind of long and rambly and, you know, they just can't, it's not good, versus something that proposes beating your children to make America great again. So
I feel like that would snap me back into the room, like, what? Yeah. Did I just hear that?
What about a belt?
Yeah.
This guy for real?
So, I don't know. Crazy. But yeah, good for you, Joanne. I think at that point I would have probably... No, see, now this is the difference. I would have been on Twitter and tweeted the fuck out of that so fast.
Oh, totally. Live tweeting it. If I can figure out my password to Twitter, I'm
like... Right. That's a good use for Twitter. If I were to go on Twitter, I would do that.
Yeah, because I don't know. That's kind of fucked up. But please let us know. Give us an update.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Next up, we have a follow-up email from David. Dear ladies of the broadcast, in anticipation of the live Thanksgiving broadcast, oops, we read this a little late. I wanted to drop you all a quick note on last week's podcast. This would be the Shandy Says Go Fuck Yourself podcast. Hi. I appreciated very much the discussion surrounding my email feedback from the Raw episode. After I sent my feedback, I was very concerned at how it would be received. Did I overstate my point? Was the language I used needlessly inflammatory? Would the email be understood as an attempt to be constructive and not destructive? I had no desire to be perceived as a drunk uncle ruining Thanksgiving. that's all right. Have a helping of a testy pie. We're all good.
Yeah, we'll cut you a slice. You want ice cream with it?
Oh, I love ice cream on everything, including gotta testy pie.
Yep.
it shrinks chocolate. It, so it fits in your mouth better.
Slides right in.
Slides right in.
Yep. Gotta let the ice cream melt a little bit so it lubricates the testy pie. Exactly. Yep.
That's how you do anal right.
There you go.
Boom. That's how you bring a joke back around. Full circle, yeah. We call that. Well done, you.
Focus, Colleen. Focus.
Sorry, that's one of those words.
I was very happy to see that my concerns were needless. The portion that I liked the best was that all of you were unified in understanding the constructive nature of my comments. People also often disagree on politics. The real art is disagreeing without being disagreeable. Does that just mean disagreeing without sounding like an asshole?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. Fabulous. I thank you all for taking my comments seriously. By the way, I'm pretty sure that my mother would disagree with you about saying that I am disagreeing without being disagreeable. I think she finds me quite disagreeable. I thank you all for my... I'm just kidding. Taking my comments seriously, I never never anticipated agreement. I had hoped for a meaningful discussion, which is exactly what I received. So bravo, ladies. Well done. Just to clarify, the economic reasons I discussed were never about personal economics. Colleen hit the nail on the head when she said it was a big government versus small government thing. I believe that a government which does less and taxes less is better for the U.S. economy. I do admit there's a disconnect between wishing for a conservative judge, I'm sorry, for conservative judges, plural, and my libertarian ideals. Politics are about choices, and economics tend to motivate my vote more than social issues. This is because, in my mind, a strong economy solves many social issues. Reasonable minds will disagree. When discussing motivations for Trump voters, I think it is not well understood among Democrats how unpalatable Secretary Clinton was for Republican voters. Many voted against Secretary Clinton rather than for Trump. Here is an interesting fact. I would have voted for Joe Biden and would have seriously considered Bernie. Anyway, great discussion. Thank you for having it. On another note, Colleen, my wife recently purchased a heater for our pool without discussing it first, so I feel your Tron pain. Except you can enjoy a pool heater. I can't enjoy a Tron game. Sorry. 2 weeks
to get. Have you tried to enjoy the Tron game?
I don't even know how to fucking turn it on, okay?
It's not trying.
The three-year-old understands it better than I do. The broadcast continues to be my favorite must-listen podcast every week. Woohoo! Happy Thanksgiving. Stay away from that drunk, overly political uncle. Well, mine had to work on Thanksgiving, so he wasn't there. Ba-dum-cha.
I would say I was relieved to see that David took our comments.
he was relieved that we were disagreeing with being disagreeable.
Right. Because, like, I do recall a poor episode where I was telling people to go fuck themselves. Not David, but just some people.
Just, you know, in general. As a rule of thumb.
So, yeah, no, that's great. And I do welcome the discussion. I still, like, there are things that I don't fully understand or agree with. I don't really understand, like, how unpalatable Secretary Clinton was for Republican voters. I would actually love if somebody could clarify that for me and give me reasons why, because I have my own idea of what the reasons are, and I don't think that the people who would say that she was unpalatable would agree with what I sort of see as reasons, but especially when I see that, like, you know, that a vote for Joe Biden would be considered, where I would say that Biden and Clinton are very similar on a lot of things. And then I see that it would seriously consider Bernie, whose politics are completely opposite of Trump, and who is also, like, way more to the left than Clinton. And if you're for small government, then that doesn't, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So, but I do see one thing that all three, Joe Biden, Bernie, and Trump have in common.
Testy pie.
Testy pie.
So anyway, I think that would be an interesting discussion to be had.
That grew up in a very Republican household, I can offer some insight on why Republicans found Hillary to be more unpalatable. And that's just because there's 30 years of conditioning people that the Clintons are crooks, that the Clintons are responsible for suicides covered up as murders covered up as suicides, that, you know, big government, this, and I'm not saying that David subscribes to all of those things, because I can't speak for somebody else. I just know from the people that I grew up with that there is I could never vote for a Clinton again, period, whether it's Bill, Hillary, Chelsea, Chelsea's dog, anybody like that. So, and I know that that is like a, 25-year-old anti-Clinton kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, and I think Benghazi and the emails were a big sticking point for a lot of people. I know a lot of my military, like friends, family, Benghazi was the biggest thing for them. Whether or not, whatever facts you chose to believe when it came to that, that was a big
sticking point.
Well, and more to the bigger point of, yes, I think there are a lot of liberals and Democrats that don't understand just how disliked Clinton was amongst Republicans, conservatives, but I think there's also an equal part of us that do understand that we know, but we don't quite understand why.
I mean, and yet she still got 3 million more votes. So it's right. Like, you know,
I also find the like Trump Bernie comparison very interesting, because I've heard that from a few people over the course of the election, that like, oh, I like Trump and I'm going to vote for Trump, but I also really like Bernie. Like, I think there is a corner of the population that had that thought, and I just find it so
I know that
fascinating, because they're so the only thing they are the same is that they were considered outsiders and not establishment politicians.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for me personally, like, that's not enough to base your decision off
As
of.
I was explained by somebody at, I went to, was it a baby shower? So somebody I'm related to at a baby shower, I think it was one of my sisters, maybe. I can't say that for sure, because it was like 2 years ago at this point, is that Bernie and Trump were the anti-establishment candidates, quote unquote, and they really liked the fact that their vote for either one of those would have been a fuck you to the establishment, that they felt were the people that weren't listening to them. I mean, let's be honest, most politicians in the world today, I mean, bought and paid for, blah, 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 blah. And that's, that's frustration that goes around. So that is, from my understanding, as it was explained to me, why at least the Long Island population of the world was a Bernie or Trump supporter. Anybody out there wants to offer some insight? TheBroadcasters3@gmail.com. 331-276-2373.
Because that's another thing where I'm just like, if you're like, I'll vote Trump or I'll vote Bernie, it's one of those things where I'm like, why?
Exactly.
What are your core values? What are your politics? Do you understand that doesn't make any sense?
Amanda.
Right. No, like, yeah.
Amanda, yes, we have a friend who is very Bernie, pro-Bernie.
Oh, yes. I believe I know what friend we are talking about.
Yes. We may have discussed him on here before. And have
you probably have.
Once in a while, I find myself commenting on his Facebook posts. Not frequently, but only sometimes. Once in a while. Once in a blue moon. But offer any insight to the Bernie bro mentality?
Well, I think when it comes to that individual, I think that person is an interesting case because they are politically minded and they actually are doing it the right way. Like, they believe in the platform, they agree with his platform as like someone who is also looking to move, become, like, have a life in public office.
Yeah.
That, like, he's aligning himself with that candidate because he shares that candidate's viewpoints. Which is really what anyone should do. If you're going to back a candidate, it shouldn't be because of their gender. It shouldn't be because of their image. It should be because you agree with their politics and their plans for the country.
Cool.
Okay, anyway.
So, yeah. I did want to say one last thing about this. Because
we gave Shandy time to think. Shit.
Go, Shandy, go.
No, just the economic reasons things thing. Because that was one thing that caught my attention, and like I can understand the argument, and we can totally agree to disagree on like how economics should go and whatever. That's fine. I'm on board with that, but I completely disagree that essentially like social issues will be good if the economy is good. And I think that we can easily look back at history and see that that's not true. And like, we still have so much progress to make in the social front that I don't really understand that argument, but,
could that perhaps be when the economy is good, theoretically, everybody has more money? Hear me out. That theoretically everyone has more money, so theoretically everyone's happy? Could that be maybe an explanation?
Maybe that could be an explanation, okay. But I think that is a very flawed way of looking at the world.
I don't think it's quite as nuanced as reality.
Right, exactly. Like if you
nothing is ever as nuanced as reality.
Right. If you
isn't okay, good? I just came up like that.
Yeah, I liked it.
If you have some money, but like you're denied the right to get married because you are gay, for example, then like that, you know,
right?
Those two, right. Then you will still be very unhappy. Like, you know,
you'll just be rich and unhappy. No, I'm sorry.
Right, and you get to save all that money that you would have put to a wedding.
So you will leave a fabulous
wedding that you're not allowed to have.
Right, exactly. So I think there's something there, but also even to go back to the economy thing, like I know that everyone kind of sees them as separate, but I sort of see them as interwoven, wherein if you look at like the current tax plan and stuff, like you can see like which people are being favored by what the tax plan, like who the tax plan would favor,
right,
and give breaks to. And so like, you know, social groups that are marginalized are going to be even more marginalized because of it. So, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't separate them totally, but I can still appreciate the argument that some people think the economy is better under Republicans, even if we haven't really seen that to be true. But I can appreciate that argument, but I think that there's more to it than that.
Okay.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Right. I do find economics fascinating.
I was like, yes, we got through this in 5 minutes. And now,
sorry. No, I won't go into the point because I think Shandy sort of expressed everything I would have really eloquently. But I will say that I just find economics fascinating. Like how much of it is theoretical versus actual. And it seems like a language so above my head, and I just am in awe of it.
I will say that I think that economics is definitely a whole other level that I also need to sometimes read sentences like 2 or 3 times to get them. Yeah. Like in that group, like David and Jay and whoever else, Dennis, will like have this whole conversation about economics. And I'm like, wait, I'm still on the first paragraph of the first person. First right. thing that somebody said, hold on, let me
especially
look this
when it gets
up.
Like really theoretical.
And then when there's like abbreviations used and I'm like, wait, yep. I know this, gross domestic product. Okay. I'm like, I just want to follow. I want to play too, but I can't.
Right. I believe there's a museum for that here in New York. One of these days I'm going to go. The one that's got all like the Alexander Hamilton memorabilia.
God, you're
got,
such
like,
a liberal,
two,
Amanda. You're going to a fucking museum to learn things.
Statues. Yeah, I know. Greatest city in the world, man.
Before we move on, I just realized, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Completely unrelated, but it's also going to take a few minutes.
That's fine.
So, you know, we pee
braked already, so we're good.
I know. And I have 19 minutes of battery remaining, and I forgot to get my charger when I was downstairs.
So. Oh, shit.
So
okay.
Speak fast.
Or forever hold your pee.
So. Okay. I'm just going to run and get it. I'll be 2 seconds.
Oh, wait.
Why don't you give your point?
Yeah.
That was my point. Like before we.
Oh. Before we
plug it. Colleen and I weren't so busy being smart asses.
No, that's literally it. I have to leave for about...
Go ahead. If this was old school, I would totally put a commercial right here.
Boom.
All right. Shandy's back and she's powered up the butt.
Okay.
I don't know where I was going with that. Something about the holes.
Plugged in, butt plug. Is that where your mind is?
She got plugged, yeah. Shandy got plugged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plugged, pegged. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Oh my god! Also, it's Christmas downstairs.
Woo-hoo! Oh, that's fun.
That was a surprise. I went downstairs, and in the time that I've been up here, Frank went to the store and he got like a little plant and like put Christmas lights on it and is like burning candles that smell like pine trees.
Oh, that's amazing!
Oh, I love pine tree candles. I bought one this weekend. It's the best.
Yeah.
I gotta take mine out. Jay got a real wreath from Costco. He says it's real. They said it was real. Who knows? It's already hung up high. But it smells like real, so that's exciting.
That's all that counts.
I think you're smart enough to tell the difference between fake
and real.
Yeah.
I grew up with real trees every year. It smelled real.
Also, it's like you can tell the way it feels. You can tell a real branch.
He hung it up before I got home. It's like above where the fireplace is. I can't even read it. He raided the dollar section at Target, like the dollar and $3 section in the beginning, and they had these like just like 2 or 3 feet string of lights. So he put the lights in our fake plants and like everywhere. Looks kind of cool.
I love it.
Yeah. Nice. So that just reminded me of that. And oh, we watched Home Alone with Zach tonight.
Oh,
yes.
It was so cute to see the things that like a 3-year-old gets out of a movie. That's clearly made for like teenagers and above. Like we are cracking up hysterically, like as each booby trap happens. Like the guys are falling down the stairs and get hit in the head with the iron. And Zachary's like, "Oh, he fell down."
Oh. I feel him there. I'm with him. Yeah.
But yeah, it was really funny. And then, like when the mom came home at the end, he was like. He gets to see his mommy and daddy. He was explaining different things to Jay, and because he was like snuggling with Jay on one corner of the couch, and I was kind of trying to prep for this show a little bit / Facebook play around, and like when the kid when Kevin McAllister. He has the toothbrush in the store and he gets scared. He like runs away. So he like explained to Jay like back essentially like what happened in the scene. He was like, he wanted to buy a toothbrush, but he had no money. So he got scared and then he ran out and he's got to pay for that. And now he's running away from the bad guys. it was really cute. The mommy's sleeping in a truck.
Oh. Smart kid.
Real picks smart. Up on it. Yeah. Okay, sorry. We have one more email, I guess, and then we'll start to wrap it up.
Okay. We have an email from Kayla, and she says, "I'm sure you all will probably be discussing this next week or whenever you next record on the broadcast, but just in case, I wanted to know what the three of you think of Johnny Depp remaining in the Fantastic Beasts series and whether you will still be seeing the movies or not, or just not paying to see them, etc. I'm really having a hard time with this one since I've always been such a big Harry Potter fan, but obviously would never want to condone any violent behavior, especially towards women. Just would like to hear y'all's thoughts and opinions. Thanks."
Oh, this one's tough.
This one's actually interesting, and I would still go see it, and here is why. And here's how I would justify it. It is a film that is written by a woman, so you're supporting, and also... And correct me if I'm wrong, but principal photography on the film would have happened before any of these allegations came out. Am I even close to correct in that?
Well, I think with the Johnny Depp thing, she's talking about how he allegedly abused Amber Heard, his ex-wife, now.
Right.
And that would have been 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
So principal photography may have probably happened for the first movie, but for the first. Not the second one.
And also, you don't know sort of what contractual obligations were signed at the beginning of the first movie. Like, they might have been contractually obligated to keep him in X amount of movies. Mm. So they might not have been able to sever ties, and sometimes that happens too. But I think at the end of the day, and why for this specific instance, I think because it's J.K. Rowling, because it's a female driven film, I would still want to support it, because I would worry that by not spending the money to go see it in the theater, you're not sending a message that you don't condone violence against women, but that you don't support women filmmakers would be my concern.
Right.
Because the studios are run by men, and they're going to look at those numbers and they're going to come to different conclusions.
Right. It is
potentially.
I am somewhat interested in hearing like how it came to be. And maybe this is out there and I just missed it, because, you know, there's like a shitload of other things going on. But how it came to be that he was still in it, whether it was contractual or not, because J.K. Rowling is pretty woke and pretty, you know, stands up for what she believes in.
Right. And there's that too. Yeah.
And pretty vocal. Like, has she said anything on Twitter?
I don't know.
About this?
Wherever.
I don't think so. So I'm just curious how, I mean, Eddie Redmayne's one thing, because he doesn't probably have the power that, like, J.K. Rowling wields, where she has literally, like, all of the power. So I am curious to see, to know whatever backstory that is, if we ever find out. But yeah, I like your reasonings, Amanda. I don't have anything better to add to that. So I'm going to go with what Amanda said.
Yes. And I will give a much less nuanced answer, which is that I know this is blasphemous, but I actually haven't seen the first Fantastic Beasts yet.
Oh, it's real good. It's real good.
Yeah. And I somehow missed the boat on that. But, so I don't know. It could just be that, like, I still haven't caught up, and so I won't see it, but not actually for any, like, social justice reasons.
Just plain old good-fashioned laziness.
Yep.
But that is very interesting, and we do have a very interesting article on a similar topic, and this is a conversation that I've been having with multiple people in my life, but I think we're going to wait for next week. So just a little teaser, if you have any feedback on the topic of supporting artists that might be rapists/wife beaters/just terrible men.
Yes.
Yep. So, important conversations that we just can't have in one episode. We need to keep having them.
Yes.
So,
if your name is Rebecca or Greg, we promise your emails are up first next week.
We didn't want to limit ourselves in our discussion, and we're already getting a little long
it's
in the tooth
midnight.
At this point. Yeah.
We've taken a lot more pee breaks and stuff than you guys have heard. We may have also talked about how we started college literally half our lives ago, and that conversation took up like a good half hour before we started recording.
It was a real existential crisis.
It really was. Amanda's mind was like,
yeah. I'm still picking up pieces of brain off the floor.
Yeah. That is actually kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yes. For realsies.
Like, half my life ago, I started college. I know.
Crazy.
Oh, shit. I didn't tell you guys. Did I tell you guys? I don't think I did. I think we were like, we got to record. Zach, we got the notice home, and it was like, questions on kindergarten, and it was for a parents' night sponsored by the daycare's like parent-teacher council about registering like the whole kindergarten stuff.
Wow.
It was like, you were just born. How did this happen?
Oh my God.
I mean, is he even 4 yet?
No.
Three.
No, so,
what's he doing talking about kindergarten?
So next January, a year from like January 2019, is when I have to register him for school.
Okay.
But school down here is real weird. Like, there's 17. You don't just go to your school district, like, you know, in New York. you live in the school district, you go to the school district. Your parents don't want you to go to that school. They can put you in a private school or a Catholic school, and that's pretty much your options, right? Everybody goes to public school. But down here, the zones are so weird and everything is, I mean, you know, my neighbor, half her house is in the city of Raleigh and half her house isn't.
So there's that.
But it's so weird down here, and there's so much expansion that they keep rezoning and redistricting schools or whatever. So you apply to a school, and it's your base school. And then from there, once you get in there, you can apply to transfer to either a year-round school, or if your base school is a year-round school, a traditional calendar school, or a what are they called?
Magnet school.
Thank you. A magnet school. There's also charter schools here, but those are like more expensive than Marist College per year. I swear to God, they're so expensive. There's a lot. So I guess they start the information out with plenty of time, but it's really nerve-wracking. And then when I think about how if we get into year-round school, which is what we want, we start July 2019, which means we are, what, like 19 months away from Zachary going to kindergarten?
Well, and then also, so he's in school all year? Like, how does his vacation work? So it's,
I think you go to school for 9 weeks, and then you take 3 weeks off.
Oh, okay.
And everybody gets the same couple of weeks in July off, because, like, the school system shuts down and restarts. It's actually really awesome.
Yes. And I think it makes a lot more, like, pedagogical sense.
It does.
Right. Like, the kids don't lose as much ground because they're not away from the classroom for as long.
Right. But they get regular breaks, so you're not just, like, going for months without a break.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, 3 months off.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure.
Less room for delinquency and hoodlumism.
Totally. On multiple levels, it makes total sense.
But, yeah, it's great for working parents too, because you have to.
Yeah, what the fuck are you supposed to do in the summer? I mean, God, we were like latchkey kids when I was growing up.
Yeah,
and, but then that was like watching Stranger Things, which we still haven't talked about.
Oh shit, we got to.
All right.
Next week.
Yeah. No, I remember like when we just like we'd be running around and like whatever, but obviously we probably wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend that now, but it was a fun childhood to just be like.
Right.
I don't know. My older brother's watching me. And that was like
whatever that means.
Because we were off for like 3 months in the summer and crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, I don't know, we'll see. This time next year, when I'm a month away from having to do the paperwork, I'm probably just going to be crying nonstop.
Oh.
Like, I'm not going to know what to do with myself. Already tonight, I was watching him and Jay watch Home Alone and, like, watching his reactions to things. And I was, like, looking at my time hop. I'm like, what happened to the kid that was in the time hop last year?
Aw. Well, you have another one coming up.
Yeah. So.
That's very true. And when that one goes to kindergarten, I'll be really excited because then I won't have to pay for any kind of school anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Until college.
Until college. So essentially, I'm just going to have to take my daycare payments and move them over into like 529 payments.
Yeah.
And then maybe I can afford the first 2 years of school for both of them.
Or just hope one or both of them is a really exceptional athlete.
Yeah. I don't think Zach is going to be that one. I'm going to go upstairs and drink a big glass of milk.
Right. On that really bright note.
And have some testy pie.
Yeah.
No, I won't.
It's too late to be eating. I'll have the testy pie for breakfast.
Will I?
Sometimes it's better for breakfast.
Yeah.
Just more fresh.
Is it, though?
Good way to start the day.
I don't know. I mean, you've been sleeping.
I also, was that Jay? There was like, roar.
Yeah, that was Jay.
Something with Tron didn't go so well. Or I was just really excited about the testy pie. I was like, that sounds great. Let's do that.
Yes. Oh, PSA to everybody. Yeah. No to the testy pie. PSA to everybody. Get your flu shots. It's flu shot season.
Got mine already.
I got mine too.
I got mine too, and I never get one. But this year I did because I was already in the doctor's office for my little kidney thing.
I actually didn't used to get one either, and last year was my first year because, I mean, it's totally free with my insurance. You just go to Walgreens. And I realized that all these years I was being stupid because, like, I had the thought process in the past of, like, well, I don't need a flu shot, whatever. Like, yeah, I still probably don't need a flu shot, but, like, all of the little kids and old people around me will probably be happy if I don't pass them the flu.
Right. And see, I go all...
so...
Yeah.
I go all, like, doomsday, and, you know, you see those videos where someone had a really bad reaction to a flu shot, and now they can't walk right, they can only run.
Don't be one of the anti-vaxxers, Amanda. Don't let them get
and
you.
And I'm usually really not. Like, 99% of my life, I am all for the vaccines. I think they're really important. But something about flu shots. I saw this one video once about this woman that, like, got a flu shot. And then she couldn't walk.
And then she couldn't walk, and she probably became autistic.
Yeah, she had, like, all this nerve damage, but she could run, and then it was fine. And it terrified me. And it's like some mysterious universe shit here.
Yeah, it is. That is really odd. I took Zach for his flu shot yesterday, and it was traumatizing for him. And it was awful because I was that asshole that laughed at him when he was crying.
It's all right. Builds character.
Well, we had to go straight to swimming lessons after, which was the traumatizing part. He was unhappy with me for taking him there. And I don't know, he pooped his pants, of course, because that's the story of our life. So we ran home in between doctors and to pick up Jay, because Jake and I can watch. So we go and we watch him it's twice a week. And it was just like, he was mad because he had to get his underwear changed at home and he wanted to change it at swimming lessons. And I don't know, there was some 3-year-old logic. And then it broke me. Okay. So this is what he kept screaming as we're leaving the doctor's office, because he was so just pissed. He was like, "They broke me! They broke me!" And I was like, and that's when I started laughing. I was like, "They didn't break you. They gave you a shot, and it's to help you not be sick." And he's like, "It broke me! It broke me!"
Oh my god, that's really cute and really
it was.
Funny.
And then as we're leaving, I'm like, first, because he's like having a fit in the room, and I'm like, "Zachary, you pooped your pants. We have to go home and change it." he's like, "I want a sticker." So we go to the front desk, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going through the stickers. Like, you want a Spider-Man sticker? No. You want a Superman sticker? No. You want this sticker? No. All right. Here's, you want a Thomas the Tank Engine sticker? Yes." And then he's so angry with his no's and his yeses that the people at the front desk of the doctor's office start laughing at him. So kid is bet at zero at this point.
Yeah. And then it's been an afternoon.
It had been like a 5 minutes. So that's when we go outside and he's like screaming that it broke him, and I'm like laughing because I'm like, oh my god.
He meant his spirit. Everyone was laughing at him.
He didn't mean his spirit, because then you go home and he's got to put his bathing suit on at home, and he loves the locker room for some reason at the pool because there's a shark on the door.
Oh, that makes sense. That's legit.
So sure, he was really upset that he didn't get to change in the shark room, and so he was just a hot mess when he got there. And he saw me and Jay through the glass, and he just cried the whole time, which was my karma for laughing at that kid who cried last week. Like, it was a point. Like, another teacher that is, because they have two different teachers on different days. The guy that's taught him before on the Fridays, because he goes Mondays and Fridays, came over and was trying to, like, cheer him up and, like, got him to laugh. But then he would look at me and be like, "I want mommy!" Just the whole time. It was a hot trauma mess. And I was like, yeah, it wasn't great. So poor kid. It broke me. And then when I
I was saying, in his defense, where they shot me in my flu shot, it was tender for like almost 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, I had some bruising.
I don't remember. I'm pretty good with shots, though. Because when they give it to you in your arm, you're supposed to do, like, push-ups or something to get the lactate flowing through the muscles, and that takes the...
That makes a lot of sense, but I was not told that.
Yeah, no, this is the first I've ever heard that. Yeah.
Should I try that next time you get a shot in your arm? Now, this doesn't help for homeboy and his leg where they gave it to him. But
well, I mean, could you do squats? Would that do the same thing?
I guess. So he went, well, he theoretically was supposed to swim after. He just got sat by the wall and cried. But yeah, next time you get a shot in your arm, try doing push-ups or something to move it around, because it will move it away from the injection site and supposedly make it less painful.
Oh my God, could you imagine if people got shots and then they like get down off the exam table and like just start doing push-ups in like the middle of the examination room?
That's what I do.
Well, mine was in the section of Walgreens, like at the pharmacy, or they just have like a little...
Oh my God, even better.
Even more amazing. Thing,
like, even better.
Yeah. So you'd kind of have to like get out of that and you're just like in the line for the pharmacy doing push-ups.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Anyway. Taking us off of a tangent. All right. Housekeeping stuff. Thank you to our patrons who make this show possible. Actually, all of our listeners make this possible, but thank you especially to our patrons. If you're interested in becoming a patron, you can visit patreon.com/jayandjack, or you can go to jayandjack.com, click on the Become a Patron link, give yourself a Christmas present, and become our patron. Gift yourself our patron Facebook page.
Or give it to someone else.
Yes. Special thanks to some of our patrons that sponsor us at a certain level, and that would be Ed the Creepy Mailman, Molly the Millennial, Tech from Tokyo, and Eckhart. Thank you guys very, very much. If you are a big holiday shopper through Amazon and you'd like to check out our affiliate link, you can go through janejack.com/Amazon. It's in the show notes here now. I've finally caught on and started linking to it. Or you can just type that out and set that as your homepage, all lowercase letters. And I heard Jay say this a whole bunch of times, and I've never remembered it till right now, but if you like what we do, give us a review. So check us out on iTunes.
That's nice. That's good.
If you could give us a nice little review, that would help us out as well. And then check out some of the other shows on the network. So Stranger Things with Jay, Jack, and Mike just wrapped up. They talked about all of season 2 of Stranger Things. What else do we have? Well, if you want to hear me, Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. We record Wednesdays within a half an hour of Survivor ending, so that's out pretty quickly. We have the Ramblecast, of course, which is our male counterparts talking about things like how to do anal right.
As if they would know.
Oh, sweet burn.
We should try to do another crossover with them at some point. Oh, Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know. There's a whole bunch. Go to janejack.com/iTunes, or you can go to janejack.com and click on the podcast, because I think that's pretty much updated now. Go me, pat on the back. But check it all out. It's all there. Oh, there's a Walking Dead one. Yeah.
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. They have Owen and Brew's Barbecue, the Star Wars one. That will ramp up. And that's about it. I think this month's Patron's Choice show is going to be voted on by the patrons in our patrons Facebook group. And that is holiday traditions. I think Matt might be there with another list.
Oh, my God. I hope so.
Yeah. Are either of you guys going to jump onto that, or?
When is it?
It's sometime soon.
I could potentially jump on.
Okay. It's not officially scheduled, but it'll be sometime soon
if I'm not washing my hair that day.
All right, cool. Maybe you could do a list with Matt, or just be there for Matt's list.
I could just be there. I could offer moral support.
Fantastic. But yeah, if you're a patron at a $5 or more level, you can look forward to that. And then that patrons hang out, I think, will be this Sunday the 3rd at 9 p.m. So... And that's for the patrons at the $15 a month level or more. So that's going on as well. Okay, on that note, we're going to go get out of here, because Shandy has Christmas and Amanda has hair washing and I don't have testy pie. And that's about it. But I might have ice cream.
Nice. Okay.
On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.